Would you like to put something first?
Yeah. Maybe we could pass this around. If everyone puts in a quid, that'd be great. And then, let's start the fun.
And Amy back there has a DVD for sale, and there's also a mailing list. Somebody's interested in signing a new Spark movie, what we're doing, what we're doing, what we're going to do. We're going to be sending every month or every 2 months, like, some news. And we can talk about the film now, you know, mostly... Whatever you want. So, I'm here. Yeah.
It's really, really inspirational. What I really liked about it was the sort of idea. I mean, it talks about the idea of objectivity and the idea of being the voice of the voiceless, but it's much, much more. It's not about trying to even up the score because they've got all the media and we haven't, and we're trying to sort of even things up. And try. It was more about us having a war. You know, it's actually a war, and it's about creating a weapon. It's about trying to win and change society, not just kind of have an equal voice. And I thought that came over really strongly. It was really, really great.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, we approach it in that way, you know, like giving, at least reflecting, you know, it's not about like who's right or who's wrong. It's just like reflecting how we make media in a different way and how we operate, not only in media making, but in different aspects on our own life. How do we do it in a different way? And it looks like it could be some alternative, so let's try to explore that side. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if you could give an idea of what's the idea of the nation in Argentina? I mean, I saw so many Argentinian flags, and I thought, you know, no anarchist or, you know, would go around with a Union Jack in this country. So what's the meaning of the carrying the Argentine flag, and what's the idea of the nation?
Huh. Well, this is interesting, and we have... We're lucky tonight because we have some Argentinian folks here too, and they're going to help me to answer these, or at least they're going to say what they think. But my sensation is like the Argentinian society hasn't been very, in whatever way, nationalistic for a long time, you know, and for many different reasons. And at least in this, when this happened in 2001, this major economical crisis, people brought out flags in a way that that kind of emphasized nationalism, but not in a radical way, but rather in a way that finally people were saying, you know, we are from this place, we know what we want, we know we're being really screwed over for a long time, and we're tired. And the fact that that night were only Argentinian flags and no political flags was a huge, huge thing, you know, because nobody was really about being Argentinian. It was being from that region of the world and being totally separated from political parties. And that was a major, major thing. And as the weeks went on, you know, it kind of got a little mixed up and got a little co-opted by the traditional parties, whatever they were, you know, like they just kind of jumped in this, you know, spontaneous movements that were taking over the streets and were organizing in these very interesting ways, but autonomously and some other ways. But do you have any...
Yeah, I forgot because I came after the transit, so... I forgot that before, normally the Argentinian flag was used during the dictatorship, so we hated it, so we didn't keep represented by it. So going back to the Argentinian flag was completely against the imperialism, against McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and so on. We didn't have any other symbol in that spontaneous moment to say, fuck off all of you, we are tired of you. And that was a message to the government. Before in the demonstration would be these political parties, the left here, the more left there, and the ultra left there, everybody with different flags, with different symbols, that instead of getting us together, it was getting us separated. Mm-hmm. So, we recover the flag in that way with the meaning of it's out of here.
And please, let's not forget about football. You know?
Which is really important.
That's like people, you know, hide behind the flag there a lot. Yep.
It's not a symbol of war, it's freedom.
Very nice, thanks.
Yep.
You have read some about the fact that you chose to distribute the film in sort of more conventional way because it kind of reflects sort of DIY and this and kind of way of doing things that comes about. Maybe you can explain some about that, like how much you've worked on the film yet and like where to go in and how after you've made film, what was your way of getting it out? Because there might be people here that do similar things. You might wonder how you managed to.
Okay. Yeah, when we finished the film, we decided that we wanted to, that we didn't want it to be distributed like in a conventional way for many reasons. Among the reasons that were involved were when you sign up with like a distributor, like you don't own your film anymore. So fuck that shit. So, and then second, you know, like it's the way that these organizations work are decentralized. So we figured, okay, let's do the centralized screenings. You know, we just, what we can do is through our webpage, we can have a page where people can access and they'll fill out some information and we'll send you a copy. And then you organize your own screening, which I totally encourage you to do. You know, you can go to the webpage and there's a form there, or there will be soon, at least, hopefully. And we'll send you a DVD and you do something like this. Or not, or you do it in the living room of your house. Or not, or you're taking to your university or a union or a church or whatever you want, and you do whatever you want with the film. And you can copy it and you can, you know, chop it up and use it in any way that you want as long as you're not making a profit. And that this is part of... this ideas that we discussed along the movie, you know, like how do we share this information? How do we make an alternative for what is already being done? And we don't like that much because it just like takes over to your creation or the ability to other people to access it. It makes it more difficult. So I'm more interested in this kind of screenings than bringing it to like a mainstream kind of you know, environment that it's gonna, you know, use it up like as a part of like the machine or, you know, I think like this personal, you know, way of like talking to people and like showing the film, discussing these issues are really interesting to me, and it seems like some people are getting pretty excited about it. So we're having like pretty good response, and it's a cool way to organize it. We didn't invent it, you know, like we kind of copied. There's a film which I didn't like at all. It's called the Walmart film or something like that. Whatever, you watch it and, you know, make your own conclusion. But they had like this cool thing where they did this. You know, they had a website and they tried to send copies to people who were interested in screening it, and that's how they get it out. And that was a cool thing. So we kind of copied that, and also with just, you know, thinking about how the network operated, you know, between those two things, we figured out this could be a good way to do it. Yeah. So, as the economy improves, how the grassroots... Yeah. I think, and again, I'm going to seek your help. This is what I think. Right after and before, during and after the economical collapse, Argentina was kind of exploding with this alternative ways of trading, for example. You know, there was no enough cash in the street. There was no money. You know, the whole money was gone. It was in the banks and like flown away into, you know, Switzerland. So people needed to to survive. So one of the ways that they figured out to do it was like, okay, you know, I make cakes and I need a haircut. So I give you a cake and you give me a haircut. So and that worked pretty good for a while. But then the economy started recovering. And as soon as the money started coming back to circulation, you know, all these things started diminishing slowly but constantly. And not this is one example, but many other things like the neighborhood assemblies, which you saw a little bit about them here, also, you know, were like really big before, like a little bit before, not before, but like during and after the uprisings, and they were super strong for like a couple of months, and then slowly, you know, just started, you know, quieting down. But they didn't disappear, and this is like the cool thing, you know, they're still going on, few of them, and not with like this strong spirit that they used to have, but they're still there, you know. And this is what is important, you know, like they didn't die, they're still there. And in a way, it's like what happens with indie media, you know, like indie media, in moments of crisis, you know, people go there, like, you know, they use it, they participate, blah, blah, and then when the crisis is gone, you know, like they kind of recede. But still, the indie media is still there. So when the next crisis comes, you know, people will plug in again. But meanwhile, there's going to be always a collective of people that's going to keep working, you know, and that collective also is going to be recycled with new people. Some people go, some people come, and it keeps going. So, yeah, I think most of the organizations after the uprisings kind of faded.
Yes, sometimes I have two things there. One thing that I think the film reflects very well is that through all these events, Argentinian people lost their pride. And this was mainly because of rising unemployment and several successes, like, for example, the confiscation of the savings and so on. So at some point, they got to a point where they said, stop this. And I think the film reflects well that there were some seeds that were planted there, and these things, even when, as Andres said, have gradually or ceased to exist, or at least it's not as important as they were in the crisis period, they are still there, and the roots have been planted there. So I think the political classes know about that, and that is important. And the other thing is that, in my opinion, I think with time, all these movements that originally were possibly violent in some ways, or through clashing with the military forces and so on, they will probably start to generate new ideas and generate probably the new and the young political classes or movements that could probably help in the future. And that's probably my take, and I think the film reflected that very well.
I think the conclusion is, when Bush went to Argentina, the Asamblea, he went to propose a new way of trading with Latin America. He has to go back to the United States with empty hands, because all the countries in Latin America say, we don't want to negotiate with you. And it was a huge demonstration, the placement of plenty of people, and every little town in Argentina were against Bush. I think it didn't stop there, it keeps continuing every day there in different ways. And in different manners, as you say all the time.
Yeah, there's a tradition of resistance, you know, as many other countries have it, not particularly from Argentina, many other countries have it. Yes? Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and this is, what you're saying is, it's interesting, and you saw, you know, like those women that were like working. They say, you know, they destroyed the factory, but we're going to recover it because it's ours. So those women are, they took over a factory, you know, like one day, as they were saying, they went to work and, you know, they went to lunch and nobody, the owners were not there, you know, like no administrative forces or anybody that kind of run the factory was there. So they took it over. This is one example of 160-something, you know, occupied factories or being in the process of being occupied factories in Argentina. And occupying a factory means that mainly is this complexes many times are huge, that have been abandoned for many years, that people just, you know, they squat it in a way, or they just take it over and they put it back to, they start running it themselves. And they organize it in cooperatives or in different ways. And, you know, it's funny because the owners of the factory left the factory because they said they was not making any profit. So the workers come back, they take over the factory, they start producing, and they start making money. So, and the conclusion that it's pretty obvious is the owners of the factory think they're not making enough money, and that's why they close it, and they lay over people. But, yeah, I'll be right with you. This movement, the factory movement, is still really strong. It's still having legal support. There's legal figures that will support the taking over a factory. There, some factories are protected by law, and some also are being, like the title of the factory is being, it's been already given to the workers, so they own the factory. So that's pretty interesting and important. Yeah. Yeah, that's a possibility, but I think like the mentality, like in the business world, is that for example, if this year I make 5 and next year I make 3, I lost 2, and that's part of the problem. You know, like not making more than last year, it's a loss, and that's fucked up. Yeah.
There's a very nice quote from the lady at the Brooklyn factory, which was, I believe, the business and they got kind of back.
Yes.
I don't know how, I've obviously been paid a lot of wages before, it's very easy to add.
Yeah.
The wage.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is like the miracle, you know, like they just, you know, just work and they contact the other, you know, like their suppliers or other factories that work in the same manner or not, you know, and they just run it the way. Okay, so you know, yeah, that's a good film. That was, yeah, that's a cool film. Yeah. I don't think so. And the reason why is because the unions in Argentina are very corrupt, extremely corrupt, and they usually betray the workers. You know, it might sound familiar here, right? I guess, unfortunately. But that's you know, like you would see like the leaders of the unions like driving these fancy cars and living like this, the really fancy mansions, and then they will like go and talk with the workers, and you know, it's like it's all bullshit. And all these organizations know this. We all know this because we've known it for years. So there's practically no relationship with the union. Here?
Mm-hmm.
would imagine, and maybe you guys might know something, I would imagine that there are some radical groups within the unions that might have affinity with some of the organizations, you know, or the occupied factories. I would imagine. I'm not really sure. I don't know. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Don't forget to sign if you want to get news and over there.